This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. The last few weeks, we've been reviewing personal finance basics. We've got shows about budgeting and savings and investing on our website, marketplacemoney.org. And this week, we're looking at debt and credit, with one question that comes up over and over with our listeners and pretty much in everyday life: which credit card is the right one for me? How do I start to choose? I know I struggle with this. There are so many options out there and absolutely no clarity on which is the right choice. So we've asked Ron Lieber to help us out. He's the Your Money columnist for the New York Times. Ron, thanks for being with us.
Always good to be here.
So how easy is it to get a credit card today, especially compared to maybe the Great Recession or right before the Great Recession?
Well, there was a big drop off in the amount of yeses they were sending out to people and the amount of solicitations the card issuers were sending out to people at the time of the recession and, you know, when the economy took a serious turn for the worse. Then there was a period when consumers themselves didn't necessarily want to take on a whole bunch of new credit. People were concentrating on paying off debt. That's changed some now. Solicitations were down a fair bit in 2012, but they're back up again in 2013. You know, what we don't always know is when, you know, in any given month, an issuer is necessarily making it a little easier or making it a little harder. So sometimes it'll depend on the issuer itself.
Now, are the offers any different today than they were before?
You know, one thing that we saw for a while there was that we saw what, you know, looked like the beginnings of, you know, the end of the 0% balance transfer offer. It used to be the case that if you had some debt and you wanted to carry it out, string it out for a while, you could get this, 0% interest for 12 months offer, or sometimes even for longer than that. And you could just keep moving your balance from one card to another while sort of slowly trying to pay it back and pay it down. And then when the period was up, you would just move it to another card. That became harder for a while. Now we're starting to see those offers again. You know, there's always a point at any, during any great economic calamity, in any part of the world, in any market, where you start to hear the phrase, this time it's different, things will never be
right,
the same again. We heard that about 0% offers, that they were going to go away forever, and they didn't. It's still a brutally competitive market. Most people who want credit cards already have them, and the card issuers have to do something to pry people away. And that's the problem with them potentially, trying at least to make it that much harder to get a credit card. If they do that, they're not going to have so many customers.
So right now, how would you go about picking the best credit card for you?
Well, there's a decision tree, and really it begins with the question of, are you going to carry a balance or are you not going to carry a balance? You know, I would always tell people not to carry a balance. Paying credit card interest tends to be expensive. Now, that being said, there are some people who have no choice. It's the best of all bad options because they lose their job, they get into a serious situation with medical expenses, or they've just, accidentally, gotten themselves in over their heads and now they're setting themselves straight. So for them, obviously the interest rate is going to be the most important thing. They're going to want to look at the APR, the terms of the card, and how long, say, the opening offer lasts, how many months. And then you want to be super, super careful to pay on time. You might even want to set up an automated payment where the minimum payment at least gets paid automatically each month, so you can never be late and you can never lose your low introductory rate.
If you carry a balance, interest rate is the most important thing. What if you're not carrying a balance? How do you decide between things like cash back and rewards points and frequent flyer miles?
There are basically three different kinds of rewards that you can shoot for, and you mentioned a couple of them there. You can look for cash back. You can look for rewards from a travel provider or sometimes from a store, but the travel providers are most popular, the frequent flyer miles, the loyalty points from the hotel programs. So, that's another way to go. And then there are these, proprietary point systems that are given away by card issuers. The membership rewards program from American Express is the oldest one and one of the most popular. Capital One has these quote-unquote miles that they give away, which often confuses people because you can't combine those Capital One miles with miles from an actual airline. And so what you have to do is take kind of a hard look at both how complicated those systems are and how likely you are to sort of forget about the points or not be able to use them, but also how valuable they are. And there's a couple ways to think about those questions.
How valuable are they?
can depend. I mean, your standard cash back, you know, sort of straight up get some cash back, you know, based on what you spend on your credit card, that's usually worth about 1% back. So you spend a dollar, you get a penny. Sometimes it gets credited automatically, you know, to the next balance statement. Sometimes you have to remember to call and ask for it.
Are then the rewards points worth more than a penny? Are they worth less than a penny? Does it completely depend?
They can be. So for these, you know, sort of proprietary points programs, some of the Capital One points can be worth up to 2 cents. And, you know, that's a pretty good deal, you know, when you redeem them for travel, because you can generally redeem them on any sort of, you know, travel experience from any travel provider that you want. It's sort of like getting 2% cash back as long as you spend it on travel. Now, you know, that card may cost 50 or 60 bucks a year, but for people who spend a lot, it's worth it. Then there are, you know, the frequent flyer miles and the loyalty points. Those can be worth much more than 2 cents, but you've got to spend those miles or whole hotel points in a certain way, and you may have to do it at a certain time of year, which may not be the precise moment when you actually want or need to travel.
Now, what's in it for the credit card companies to offer these perks? They attract my business to the card in the first place, but are there other reasons they have these perks out there?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, the more you spend in pursuit of these rewards, the more likely you are to get in debt. Once you're in debt, you'll be paying 12 or 18 or 29% a year. And then the credit card companies win. So, you know, the object of the game is to be as unprofitable of a customer as you possibly can, to never carry a balance, but to get, you know, all of the rewards for spending you would otherwise do, but not spend more than you necessarily should just in pursuit of those miles. Even those folks who never carry a balance and never pay any interest, the card companies are hoping that they will spend more than they might have otherwise because it's a credit card, because they don't have to pay it off for 30 or 40 days, and because they get these points and they think, well, you know, at least I'm getting the miles if I'm going on the shopping spree. That is exactly what they want you to think, and you need to try not to think that way.
If I pay my balance on time every month, does my credit card company actually make any money on me?
They do, because the merchants pay them fees for the privilege of accepting these cards.
Right.
And, you know, the story that the card companies and the, you know, other companies that they work with to set up these merchant agreements, the stories that they tell is they say that people with credit cards spend more than people with cash, because there's sort of a psychological difference, you know, with paying with plastic and not having to pay the bill for 30 or 40 days versus actually laying out money that you got from the cash machine. And they're explaining to the merchant that it's worth the merchant's while to pay that fee. And so the card issuer eventually gets some of that fee, and they still make a decent chunk of change on people who spend a couple $1,000s a month, but do not ever carry a balance.
Ron Lieber is the Your Money columnist for the New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.